Excellent. Very good. If you guys can skip ahead to one next slide forward. Friends, over the last 18 years or so, I've been in the ministry. Over the last 18 years in the ministry, I've got to tell you, every church I've served, every building I've been in has had its own physical challenges, and oftentimes what the challenge has something to do with water. It's usually got something to do with water. And I think about the challenges the people in the Bible probably faced through the years, particularly the people that Moses led. Their very first challenge that they led when they made their run for it, for freedom, was they had to cross a Red Sea. They had a challenge of water before them. And right before inheriting the Promised Land, now the leadership had been turned over from Moses to Joshua, and again they had another challenge. They had another body of water. They had to cross all of the people through the Jordan River. And so I think that water is a kind of typical thing that we deal with in churches and when we face challenges. And I think about the first church I served, a Lakewood United Methodist Church. They had $600,000 of roof that they had to deal with because they had a leaky roof. And we got to that $600,000 of roof, and then only to be deflated to find out that was only one-fifth of the work that needed to be done. It was a $3 million job. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. And this church, too, has its own little leaks here and there, but the great challenge that we've been dealing with in this church is our sprinkler system. And I can't tell you how proud I am of this congregation for seeing the challenge laid before you, for going after the challenge, not running away from it, and meeting the challenge and rising to it. Just to give you a quick update on our capital campaign, we've got $81,000, a little over $81,000 in hand, and we've got over $99,000 pledged. We are right there on the verge of it all. And so thank you very much for your generosity. You saw the challenge in front of you, and by faith you stepped forward. And just like what Joshua says, when you consecrate yourselves, Joshua says, consecrate yourselves. Or put, go all in, because God's about to do amazing things amongst you. And so I think about all the challenges that we've had to face in all the churches I've served, and none of them really compared to a challenge my friend Lou Verdi, he's a pastor in Southern Ohio, had to deal with his own church. And he told me about the challenge one time when I saw him at annual conference. The church he served is on a high on a riverbank down in Southern Ohio, and the area, just like our rivers do, they flooded. The river flooded. And so he was getting to church early that day to work on a sermon, because the entire afternoon the congregation had dedicated. They said, you know what, we're going to consecrate this time together. We're going to set it aside for God, and we're going to reach out into the community to help all of those families that have flooded. And if you've ever had a home flood, you know the absolute disaster of what that can look like. So they were going to be going out into the community, handing out warm meals. They had flood supplies they had gathered at the church, that whatever people needed, they were prepared to help. But Lou was driving into work that morning, onto the church for that early Sunday morning, and he was driving past the river, and he saw floating down the river all sorts of people's belongings, their property. He saw their dreams being swept away. And then he saw a rather large building going down the river. And he thought, oh my Lord, that is somebody's house floating down the river. This large structure hit a tree that was in the river, and it started to break apart. And he just sat there dumbfounded as that the building broke apart, and he saw a familiar cross emerge. He quickly drove to the church site to come to the realization that his worst nightmares were true. It was not a house floating down the river. That was the church where he served. That was the building. The bank that was high above the river that they thought was high above the floodplain, it eroded, it had been worn away, and the church literally went sliding down the side of the bank and into the river, and it was destroyed. There were a bunch of the men from the church who had already gathered there, and they were kind of sorting through whatever property was left there on the riverbank, trying to salvage whatever they could. There was a group of men standing around drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes, and they had a table that they were propping up, and it was covered with mud and with coffee and with all sorts of muck and misery. And they were kind of ashing their cigarettes out on the table. And Lou walked up to it and immediately recognized what table that was. It was the church's altar. It was the church's altar. Now, covered in the mud the way it was, the men didn't realize what they were doing. And what Lou felt, he felt this anxiety build up inside him. He wanted to have something nasty come out of his mouth. That's what they were doing with the church's altar. But he realized that in times of challenge, oftentimes our fears, oftentimes our frustrations, our anxieties pull us out of the moment that God is trying to have with us. So he took a deep breath, had some discipline, reeled back those words back into his mouth, and he helped to bring those people back into the moment, that moment that God was having. He knelt down in front of the altar and he took off his sweater and he began to wipe away the muck and the mud. And some words began to emerge, and it said, "In remembrance of me." As soon as those words emerged, the men realized the mistake they had made. They said, "Oh, Pastor, we're sorry. We didn't know. We thought it was just another table. It was just a big mess. We didn't realize what we were doing." And Lou realized that, and he's like, "You know, can you help me clean this thing off? Because we're going to need it this morning." And right there in the middle of the chaos of the flood, with the rain still falling down around him, in the absolute mess of the church property, Lou gathered together with his congregation and they worshiped that morning around that altar. He put his hand on the altar. He said, "This is not just another table. This is the place where we come to remember that Christ gave everything for us. This is not just another table. This is where it begins again. This is where we start over." And they did. They rose to the challenge, and life began again for them. This Sunday is our consecration Sunday, and we throw the word consecration around in the church, and oftentimes I wonder, I was like, do we really know what it means to consecrate something? When we consecrate something, it means we set it aside, that it'll be reserved, and there will be no other purpose for this thing that we have set aside than to glorify God in our lives. For instance, this is not just another table. This is the altar upon which we remember and we come on a weekly basis to remember the great life that Christ gave for us. And it'll be used for no other purpose besides that. What have you consecrated in your life? What have you given over to God and said, "Lord, this is yours"? What hour of your week do you hand over to God, perhaps to spend in prayer and say, "Lord, I will not be distracted in this hour. In this hour, this is yours." What great gift do you have? Some talent, ability to speak, some way to be able to teach, some great talent that you have in which you say to the Lord, "Lord, I give this to you, and may you be glorified in it." What have you consecrated, set aside, and declared, "Lord, this is yours"? Over the last few years, our church has made major strides in the financial giving that we do beyond the walls of the church. And believe me, that is not easy. It is not easy. But it's not supposed to be either. That when we consecrate something, it means that we're supposed to put our passion into it. It means it's supposed to be hard. It means it's supposed to take sacrifice. It's supposed to take dedication. And believe me, the giving that we have done from this place has taken all of the above: passion, dedication, and sacrifice. I think the society in which we live today sometimes gives the wrong names, or we misname certain things. And one of the commercials that comes to mind is the Progressive commercial. Has anybody seen this Progressive commercial? A couple of people have. But basically, this is the Progressive agent on the left, Flo. Her character name is Flo. Was trying to sell insurance to somebody. Perhaps it was a relative of hers. And the relative is just sitting there on a stationary bicycle, kind of half-heartedly pedaling along, maybe at about a half a mile per hour, flipping through her phone, perhaps looking at Facebook, chewing gum, and she tells the insurance agent, she says, "Stop bothering me. You're interrupting me. You're ruining my workout," she says. Cycling is my passion." Friends, that is not passion. That is not passion. We call things our passion that have no life within them. When I think about passion, I look at that cross, that is passion. And that has life eternal within it. That changes the world. That is passion. At times we call things our donations, sacrifices. Donations aren't sacrifices. Donations are things that we don't think twice about giving. We don't have to think very hard about it at all. As a matter of fact, I've got a whole lot of junk in my garage that I'm more than happy to donate if you'll just come on over and clean it up and get it out of there. Oftentimes, the things that I donate are things I don't want at all. I simply give them away. On the other hand, a sacrifice is something I'm willing to bleed for. What are you willing to bleed for? And so we sometimes misname things. We call things passions that are lifeless. We call donations sacrifices that we don't think twice about. But when we give beyond the local church, believe me, it is a sacrifice. It has a whole lot of passion that is involved in it. And it takes a whole lot of dedication. And our finance committees over the last few years have really worked hard to get us back on track with the giving that we do so that God's greater mission beyond these walls continues to grow. And I'm beyond thankful that I serve a church that doesn't just think about itself, but can be able to set aside a chunk of money, and believe me, it is no small chunk of money, to be able to say, Lord, this is yours. It'll be used for no other purpose besides your mission. We consecrate it to you. And believe me, the monies that we give, we could use here. We need them here. We do. But we make that sacrifice and we go beyond it. And so we consecrate them. And just as Joshua says, he says, consecrate yourselves because tomorrow God will do amazing things among you. Now, when we think about the monies that we give beyond the local church, you might say, well, what is this shared ministry stuff? Well, how many of you remember Walt Chisholm? You guys remember Walt Chisholm? He was one of the ministers who serves here. Walt just, I think, had his 91st or 92nd birthday. And the monies that you give help to make sure all of our retired ministers that we love very much are able to still have health care. They're still able to continue to have health care. What you give beyond the local church is no small thing. The monies that you give beyond the local church help to cause ministries to happen across the world. Places that were once deserts are turned into arable farmland because of the monies that you have given. Places where there is no healthy drinking water, wells are drilled so that people who have not had access to clean water now have access to clean water. The ministries and the monies that you send out there are no small thing. Jen Dyer, you're going to seminary right now. Some of the monies that we send out there help to prepare the future generations of leaders within our church. Without it, our seminaries would close. These are no small things. And so I am thankful that we are dedicated. And so I tracked back from 2014 to see kind of where we went. How are we doing in a healthy way? In 2014, we gave something like $7,000. We sacrificed. We worked hard. We gave about $7,000 from this local church to go to ministries beyond these walls. In 2015, we gave $12,000. In 2016, we hit a kind of a blip. We didn't give anything for the first 6 months, but after those 6 months, beginning in July, we gave a total of over $20,000, and I couldn't be prouder of this church and the way in which you responded in those remaining 6 months. In 2017, you gave 85% of the total that you were asked to give, which is a huge, huge step forward. And this year, in 2018, we are set to be back on track, something that we have not done in well over a decade. We're back on track to hit 100% of what we've been asked to give. And what that says to me is that is health. That is a church that says, Lord, we have consecrated our lives and we are willing to sacrifice that we are all in for our faith. And I'm telling you, that is a fun place to serve. And when you consecrate your time, when you consecrate your gifts, God can and will do amazing things through them. God will. And so we consecrate. What I want you to think is that the power of the widow's mite is a power that says, I am all in. And back in Jesus' day, he looked at this widow who was giving what we would call a fraction of a penny today. And it wasn't the amount that was important. It was the intention behind the amount. It's the attitude in the giving. That when the widow put those two mites into the offertory plate, She didn't sit back to reconsider how she might subdivide up all of the money that she had. She didn't consider about how she might be able to better invest it in someplace else. She came to the realization that there is no better place to invest my life than in the trusted hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She went all in. That is a life that is consecrated. Now, in the world in which we live in a world that which we talk about multitasking. We subdivide up our time, and we talk about that being a great thing, that I'm able to multitask with my time, that over this next hour, I can subdivide my efforts, my energies, and my attention into five different projects that are all going on simultaneously, and I can somehow kind of get each of those five projects done. On the other hand, the language of consecration says, I will not subdivide anything. That for this next hour of time, my attention is to God and to God alone. And so my challenge that I have for each of you in the upcoming week is to find 1 hour and consecrate it. Spend that hour with God. Or with your husband or your wife, they're not able to spend the hours that you should be spending together. Set aside all of your cell phones, set aside your devices, turn off your computers, don't check work emails, don't flip through Instagram to figure out what your friends have posted, but simply give that to your child, to your wife, to your husband. Give it to God and said, Lord, in this hour is set aside for you, and nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, will take priority over it. Consecrate it and allow God to do amazing things amongst you. And so I think about this last year in ways in which we have consecrated our time together. We've consecrated an hour in between our two worship services each Sunday to sit down in Sunday school classes and to learn amongst each other about who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. If you're not a part of a Sunday school class, get a part of it. There are some excellent ones. You invited me to several of yours this last year, and I absolutely love sitting down and listening to you and learning from amongst you. Take that time, consecrate it, and learn about our Savior. Within our worship service, one of my favorite parts of the worship service is our children's moment. We consecrate that time to God. We set it aside and we say, Lord, in this moment, it doesn't matter how old you are. In this moment, both young and old will learn a little bit more deeply about who Jesus Christ is. Over this last year, we have carved out time together, consecrated it, set it aside for the God's greater mission. Some of that meant that you came here and you worked hard getting your hands dirty, either cleaning up our outside property or our inside property. You probably have no idea how many work hours that you gave to this place and how much money you saved in the overall ministry of this church. And so thank you. Thank you for your efforts, for your sweat, and your time. It matters. We consecrated time together by going out to things of the Random Act of Kindness or down to Grace Park to feed homeless people. We consecrated our time together by reaching out to the greater community on mission trips to go and help some stranger in Christ's name. Every Sunday morning when I come into worship and I hear passionate music being played, I know that this is consecrated time together because the Spirit moves within me. It stirs my heart and my soul, and it says, yes, this is a place I want to be. And friends, we consecrate the time together. We set it aside. We say, Lord, we give this to you. And so in just a few minutes, we're going to consecrate our upcoming pledges. We're going to dream into the future. Say, what does the future hold for all of us? I just got back from a meeting of our denomination from Chicago, in which we looked at the upcoming challenges of what's coming in 2019. Well, there's a lot of apprehension, there's a lot of trepidation out there, but what decisions will be made denomination-wise? And we looked at that, and I think about all the challenges that are ahead of us, but just like that widow that reached out and put her entire life into the hands of Christ, the only one who holds our future is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and there are no better hands that we can trust ourselves within. And so in a moment, we will put those consecrations, those pledges forward, and we'll consecrate them. In essence, we will say, Lord, we trust in you. Friends, we come together as God's body, the body of Christ present on earth. Go all in the faith of, with our faith in Jesus Christ, when we consecrate the time that we have together, God can and will continue to do amazing things amongst us. Amen. Joe, would you be willing to play something quietly for our time of consecration?